gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Hal Sparks, filling in for Stephanie. She decided to take an extra day on her vacation and have a long weekend. Of course, though, joyfully, blissfully, she has forced Jim and Chris to continue working today. Yes, I see the whip marks, and I'm very happy to be working with you today. This is, yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. That's good. Now I feel
thank
like...
Thank you, sir. I have another.
Yes. Actually, you may. So, obviously, today, we're going to be... I'm going to try desperately to try and dovetail our obvious need to discuss what happened yesterday, the unfortunate passing of Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett. I want to make sure that she's not forgotten in this whole melee. Oh. You know, just it's amazing, you know, because it was a bit, you know, she had her cancer, and then it was very public, you know, that special she did on CNN. It was one of the biggest viewed programs they'd ever had. They were even going to follow it up if it went to remission. They were going to deal with her healing afterwards and stuff, and Ryan O'Neal had just asked her to marry him.
And she nodded her head yes.
Yeah, but she was unable. She was too weak to speak. And then she passes, and there is a moment where you know, I think a lot of us went, wow. Farrah Fawcett, what an iconic. I mean, that poster. I joke about it, of course, but you know, I had the Farrah Fawcett poster inside my bedroom door, on the inside of my bedroom door in high school, and
a lot of people did.
Yes, they did. It was very upsetting to my grandmother, who came to my house and saw that the poster was there. She was upset that it was hanging at, you know, because there's this woman scantily clad, smiling in a come-hither way.
In a cold room.
Yes. Yeah. Right, very cold. I just thought she liked me. What are you saying? I was under the impression that poster...
just speaking to you.
That graven image was very excited to see me. But the thing that upset her the most was that it was on the inside of my bedroom door, which means you could really only see it if I was in the room by myself and the door was... closed.
That's right.
It was very upsetting.
And probably locked.
Absolutely. Yeah. I named the lock Farrah. Is that wrong? So there, you know, she had a huge impact, you know, on this country. I mean, she and Bo Derek basically defined like sexiness, you know, hotness, as it were, for late and into the 80s too. Yeah.
Right. Yep.
A beautiful woman. And, you know, later also filled with controversy. Her, you know, her life, because there was this element of, is she ditzy or is she on something? Is she does she have a substance problem? Is that what's going on? She fought around with some of that, but a lovely lady nonetheless. And passed yesterday. And then,
shockingly,
Michael Jackson drops at 50 years old, cardiac arrest is what they're assuming. I mean, he obviously went to cardiac arrest. They tried to revive him. His personal physician was apparently on hand.
Yeah.
Treating him, tried to revive him for almost for the entire ambulance ride, to and was unsuccessful. There's going to be an autopsy. We don't know exactly what the cause of death was.
So today, actually,
The autopsy's today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's going to be, you know, there's of course the rumors started to fly. I mean, he was, you know, his life was always surrounded by rumor and innuendo, as it were. The question of, was it prescription medication that he was on for pain from his multiple surgeries, and B, being on tour again, wanting to do these shows and rehearsing here in Los Angeles.
He was supposed to be at the Staples Center rehearsing when he died.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it was probably, knowing him, rushing to do it.
Yeah.
You know, not wanting to get...
He'd been working out with Lou Ferrigno, as we talked about
weeks
ago.
In fact, I think we talked about that last week.
Right, and I wonder if he overtrained.
Overdid it, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's this unspoken thing, and I'm curious. I doubt it will have something to do with this, but this comes up a lot, especially with athletes these days, and this is my own kind of little soapbox, but... the energy drink craze has gotten so out of hand, where like the rock star drinks and mixing them with sports drinks.
Oof.
And you know, you have all these young healthy athletes dying of quote unquote undiagnosed heart problems.
Yeah, I accidentally got a drink of something the other day that had guarana.
Yes,
in it, and
guarana.
I almost instantly got heart palpitations.
Absolutely. That stuff will not. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like you feel why is the left side of my body going numb? What's wrong with me? And honest
to
God,
it's natural.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't hurt you. It's natural.
Well, so is poison ivy, and so is drowning if you're underwater. You know, there's a lot of natural
liquid hot
arsenic.
Magma.
Liquid hot magma. So I'm sure there's a combination of, you know, the situation where you've got a concoction of drugs in his system from, you know, multiple face surgeries, probably multiple orthopedic surgeries in his dancing, you know, hips, knees, and ankles have probably been treated, you know, whether we've known about it or not over time. And you deal, I mean, the painkillers he must have been on just for the amount of surgeries he had, his face probably felt like it was on fire half the time from the amount of surgeries he had. I mean, I know Joan Rivers sometimes talks about that. And then on top of that, you want a tour. You're really pushing it. This is your comeback. You need to. The
stress of being Michael Jackson.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, that you can, in some people's eyes, never do anything right. And in other people's eyes, you can never do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. And those are very strange places to be emotionally all the time. That you have, you know, cult-like followers who literally will follow every wave of your hand. And then other people who think that no matter what you did, in your life, you could never make up for something that they believe you did, whether it was true or not. Right. I mean, that's most celebrities deal with that. And he was a child star. Let's not forget that Michael Jackson was at 50 years old, you know, an early death, a young death in a lot of ways. And I think you can chalk that up to another, you know, situation where we don't know how to treat our child stars. Right. And over time, we kind of corral them into a very strange box.
And
you know,
he never really had time to be a kid.
Nope.
Yeah, he was,
and he tried to recreate it when it was not healthy.
Right.
You know, and I've always said, I did. You know, even when he was at the height of the accusations that came out about him, I always said, I don't really view him in the same way that I view somebody else who may be guilty of similar molestation in some ways. And this is my own personal thought on it, is that, mainly because I don't think he was emotionally mature. Think it was, and I don't think it was malicious. A lot of people, you know, they're you know, when they deal with children in that way, a lot of them, quite frankly, do it in a power way. You know, as a way of, you know, they lack control in their lives and they want control for, and they take it from a child, and it's really wrong. I think Michael Jackson was on the same mental level in many ways.
Right.
With the children he hung out with, whether you believe he did anything or not, he definitely was of the same ilk. Like he played with those children as an equal.
Yeah. As a child would play with those
children. That's what Neverland was all about, was that reclamation. So, you know, definitely sad, definitely a moment of pop culture mourning for you know, people. You know, I even said yesterday, I tweeted and I threw out a joke that may have been a little too early, and I'll cop to that. But afterwards, I also made the point, and I think this was a bit of a softer joke, but I think important, that right now, I guarantee that there was somebody in Iran in a hospital or in an apartment being treated for a gunshot wound or a lash on their back or a beating or a bruise with blood running down the side of their face, and somebody said, "Did you know Michael Jackson just died?" And they went, "Oh, man, that's terrible."
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was the reach of him. And I guarantee it. If you look at the reports from The Daily Show from Iran, you can see how connected to pop culture they are and how much we actually share.
Yeah.
And I guarantee there are people there who are just as affected by Michael Jackson's passing than anybody here in the United States, which I think speaks to the power of music and the power of his in particular.
Yeah.
So, personally, I feel like, there's a lot of artists who are saying without Michael Jackson, there would not have been Backstreet Boys, Justin Timberlake, you know.
Prince, even.
Well, Prince was almost like the pop culture made a choice at one point. It veered in two directions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just like, okay, we have these two guys. They're kind of in the mixed race zone of things, just one by choice and one by birth.
Right.
You know what I mean? This guy decided, I'm going to try white for a while or something. Like, that was the big controversy with him at that time when he just started to lighten up, and everyone was like, "Oh, he's being treated for vitiligo, and that's it's a thing." And other people were like, "He's sleeping in bleach. He's like filling a tub with bleach, and he's lightening his skin." All that kind of crazy stuff. And meanwhile, Prince is over here. Prince, arguably, even with the changing his name to a symbol part, which I think we all know was because he was contractually obligated, and Warner Brothers owned his actual name for a while. He couldn't actually use his name on a record, so he went, "I don't need one. Hell with you. I'll tell you what, I'm going to change my name to a symbol, and people will still buy my records."
Yeah.
And he was right.
And they did.
Absolutely. And so, and Prince just kind of went off in his own, like, "I'm going to be sexiness." And Michael Jackson went, I'm going to be Mother Teresa, Princess Di.
Yeah.
Like, there really was the divergent R&B roads in a lot of ways, you know. And I was always, I'll have to admit, I was always in the Prince camp, and I still am. And I think, for me, you know, Prince is passing when it occurs, and it shall, because we all shall.
Yeah.
That'll be a rough one. For me, and
for
I
you.
So
yeah.
I totally understand the Michael Jackson fans and what they're going through, because when, you know, I play guitar and I play bass and drums a little bit and saxophone and a bunch of things, and mainly I play multiple instruments because of Prince. I'm like, he can play 20 instruments fluently, as it were.
Yeah,
amazing, amazing.
He writes
artist.
His own stuff. He produces his own stuff.
He's written over 3,000 songs.
Yeah,
and he could dump half of them out, and we'd all go, "Those are hits, every single one."
Right,
just great guy. I actually play piano because I learned Prince's piano version of Purple Rain from the movie. Like, that's, I mean, just, that was how, that's how big a Prince fan I am. So I get how a lot of people who rush down to the hospital, the people who are standing out there, so my heart goes out to them, especially into his family.
Right.
Because that's really what this is about. It's never about us. You know, when we pass away, it's never about us. It's always about who we leave behind and who the people who are affected by our lives are. And the funerals and the services and the memorials are really about the legacy and the effect.
Right.
So, I, you know, to those people and to the people, you know, I really understand how they're feeling right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that being said, let the fun begin. Now that we have, know, it's, you know, 6:17 in the morning, we're on the West Coast.
On the West Coast.
Yes. And we have handled the sober, somber part, and we will now get to the comedy, as it were. Because I think that's very important. I do think, you know, not to laugh at, but to laugh with, and to make, you know, just to lighten a subject doesn't mean it's taken lightly.
Exactly.
You know.
Right.
And I, by the way, for the jokes that I've made, my conscience is clear. I'm not going to make you play that Michael Jackson edit that you guys have
Not today.
But when you guys are on vacation next week, I might whip it out just to wag my finger. No, I'm kidding. I won't do it. I won't do it. I'll cut together my own and make it really nice. And
I'm not going to tell Tony where it is.
mislabel it.
Yeah.
Right. Bette Midler or something.
Bette Midler? Where's that Bette Midler file? Jim told me I knew it. And then I find out you've actually cut together a Bette Midler file of stuff. Like, what?
What
is this?
Huh? What?
Right.
Bette Midler? I want you to look at her horrifying buttocks.
You are the wind.
Wow. That's actually, she would. And that's
what
I love about Bette.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Bette would go, check these out. Still in decent shape. I'm a dancer. It's all right. So we'll be, of course, taking your calls. The number is 1-800-STEPH-1-2. I'm Hal Sparks. I'm filling in on the Stephanie Miller Show. We got a lot of show for you today. There's a lot to talk about, not just the Michael Jackson stuff. I know you may be feeling inundated even, but we will deal with it. But I want to deal with it in terms of how it affects other people, how it affects, you know, other issues, and how his life has actually affected us politically and pop culture-wise. So we'll talk about that. We'll take your calls, and we'll see you in a little bit. Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Get up, get under. You're stuck in the middle.
So leave Michael alone. Stop hurting him. He's trying to record a song. I always thought, you know, Michael Jackson, they talked yesterday about how he recorded all his songs in layers.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yep.
Like a composer, you know?
Yeah.
But he would write the drum beats, but he would write it by going...
Yeah.
And later, the songs, they just didn't even bother to put more drums in.
They noticed him.
He was all of the snare, the cymbals, all that stuff, everything but the bass. He was...
Right.
I'm surprised they didn't try to, you know, give him CPR in the studio half the time. Like, you okay? That's a weird noise.
Yeah.
Trust me. As long as he stays in time with the metronome, we always know he's okay. Otherwise, he's choking on something.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
I would like to, probably the luckiest person in yesterday's Newsday was Governor Mark Sanford of South Carolina.
Just a little.
But, for the record, He also would have been a little luckier. He was supposed to stay in Buenos Aires for 10 days, apparently. He had bought his ticket, and he was going to, and he came back in 7 because it was so much controversy. Whatever. If he'd have stayed for 2 more days.
It would have stayed in Buenos Aires.
It would have stayed, because he would have announced to the world that he'd had an affair on the same day that Michael Jackson died, and no one would have heard it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would like to say, personally, I think that he is not responsible for his actions, nor is he guilty. For having an affair. It was not his fault. He was forced into it. And I think Rush Limbaugh said it better than anyone else. Let's play that clip.
I'm just checking the email. Rush, are you kidding? This theory of yours about Sanford? No, I'm not. My first thought was, he said, to hell with this. The Democrats are destroying the country. We can't do anything to stop it. I gave everything I had to stop it here in South Carolina. My wife's left me. To hell with it. I'm going to enjoy life, what little time I got left. Folks, there are a lot of people that are looking at life. They're saying, screw it. They're saying, screw it. And they're, before Obama takes away their money, before Obama takes away their house, or the economy takes away their house, are people.
Yes.
What? They're saying, hell with this. They tuned out.
They
hell
did.
With it. I'm just going to try to enjoy this as much as I can.
Hell with it.
You should, absolutely.
Just take some oxycontin, go down to the Dominican Republic, and let your freak flag fly.
Raise it up the flagpole and see who salutes. So Rush Limbaugh's theory is that Mark Sanford had an affair for a year
because of Barack Obama's
who wasn't president yet. Economic policies. Right, yeah, exactly. And that his wife kicked him out, and he was like, I don't care anymore.
Damn you, Obama!
Yes, right. If only Obama had not made me desire a beautiful Argentinian woman with her when she covers those lovely parts of herself. And then, you know, while you're at it, why don't you blame Michael Jackson while you're at it? Why don't you blame, so I've learned... He's probably crying in Argentina listening to She's Out of My Life.
Oh, no.
Holding Maria's... She's out of my life. I'm surprised he didn't break into that at the press conference. Right, he's just weeping. That, like, y'all are... A male pronoun, by the way. No one ever seemed to notice that. Just saying, a little suspect. But I'm surprised that Mark Sanford didn't just in the middle of it. Because that long, rambling, gorgeous, by the way, beautiful press conference where he admitted not only the affair but unnecessary details. It wins the TMI award.
Yes, it does.
Because it started innocently enough with some emails, and then which we got to read, by the way.
Those were a little suspect too, as we brought up yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, they came from an anonymous source.
Well, I know.
Who knows?
Right.
There was some speculation yesterday that may be.
I was wondering if the whole affair was a cover story for something sleazier than that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, some people are saying, and that's why they can't find the Maria.
Yeah. Interesting.
And we were all saying in my house,
maybe it's a Miguel.
What's the boy's name? That's, Mark Sanford, luckiest guy in the world right now.
That's right.
Until I get through with him. We'll talk about that more as we get along. This is the Stephanie Miller Show, 1-800-STEPH-12. I'm Hal Sparks filling in. Blessed with Chris and Jim today.
Stephanie Miller
thinks that she has the key to popularity, parking in cars with the boys at night. When Jerry brags about taking
Stephanie Miller
out, he learns that she dates all the boys, and he feels less important.
Wow. You had to wait till she was out of town to do that one? I'm Al Sparks. I'm filling in for Stephanie Miller. 1-800-STEPH-12 is our number, and of course... Chris LaVoy and Jim Warder here. Chris put together that little clip
to
play.
Do you feel less important?
Yeah, that's right.
Because your girlfriend is a slut.
Yeah.
Slut! She's a slut!
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 If only that were true. Every time I come in here, she flutters like an Amish butterfly.
Yeah.
Like
she gets all tense around you.
That's hilarious.
It's cute.
It's almost the way Tom Hartman gets when he's around her.
Yeah. That's true.
Tom Hartman's, you know, he's like, it's almost like he's rubbing a picture of her going, imagine the liberal babies that we could have. They would probably, if you cut them, they would bleed granola. I love
them. He gets so cute and giggly around
her. I know,
her.
It's great. I'm a huge Tom Hartman fan. He's doing his show from L.A. this week.
That's right.
And when he shaves his beard, he looks like he's about 12.
It's true. Absolutely. He has to have the beard just so people don't go, get out of here, kid. You bother me.
Grow some gravitas.
Yeah, I've written 37 books on the Constitution. Yeah, whatever. Whippersnapper. I know. Yeah. Every time I hear him on the radio, he comes up with another book that he's written. You know, right. In my book, you know, America's Journey into Constitutional Wonderland, in chapter 75, you know, like they're all the size of Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged, and they're all half of them are just footnotes, I'm sure, because he's so thorough. He's really, I dig Tom Hartman, but
he's the smartest man in the world.
Absolutely, but he is super hippie. He really is. He's like, you know, he's the kind of guy who, you know, he's like, yeah, when my wife and I first got together, we put together a collective where inner city kids could learn how to, you know, grow, you know, hemp and weave it into shirts, you know, like as, you know.
I live in a yurt.
Exactly, totally. And I love that about him. So, but he apparently, when Steph's around, he gets a little whoopity-doo.
Yeah.
And I can't say I blame him. She's a beautiful one. She's on vacation, and I'm filling in for her while she's here blissfully. Today I get to have the lovely and talented Jim and the lovely and talented...
What's his name?
Yeah.
No,
what's my name?
I wanted to call you Boy Toy first, but I was trying to find a way to get that organ. Chris LaVoy, the Boy Toy.
Well, yeah, thank you.
But I don't know if the Boy Toy Chris LaVoy works. It sounds like, you know what's interesting? It sounds like a slam that way. You know what I mean? The Boy Toy Chris LaVoy sounds negative. But
she's called me that for 11 years.
But Chris LaVoy, the Boy Toy, sounds like, oh, well, that's a plus.
Hello.
You know what I mean? It's all about syntax. That's what I'm about.
Yeah.
I'm the Goy Toy.
The Goy Toy. You certainly are. I know Jews who'd want to play with you, and I mean that with love. The FBI comes out and says that Saddam Hussein may have been faking having WMDs when he was talking about it. That's how they're going to kind of side it. And my answer, of course, is of course he was.
Yeah.
The inspectors never found anything. They, you know, repeatedly we looked all over that place and they couldn't find any. But everybody was still insisting, and he was even bragging about it. Of course he was bragging about it. In the same way that if you were a blood surrounded by Crips in South Central and the cop said, throw down your weapon.
I ain't got one.
All right. You would never. Yes, exactly. You would never yell, I don't have a gun when you were surrounded by other people with guns. You know what I mean? He's bordered by Iran. Mm-hmm. They had this hostile relationship.
Encouraged.
Exactly, and paid for and supplied both sides of for a good deal of time.
Israel has nukes pointed at them.
Absolutely. And then you want him to come out and say, I'm completely weaponless. I don't have an air force to speak of, and I don't have any long-range missiles that can hit anywhere outside my country. As a matter of fact, all the weapons I have are only effective towards my own people and keeping them down.
I have a flintlock.
Right, exactly. And I still don't know how to muzzle. Like, what is it? Is it ball shot wad or wad shot ball? I mean, these are the big questions you have in life, anyways.
Yeah.
But I often forget myself, and I'm. How do we go again? Ball shot, which. It is. It's shot, ball, wad. No?
No.
Damn, I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
is it shot, wad? Yeah, because it caps it down in there. Okay, good. Whew. Oh, that's it. See how exhausting it is?
Wad, ball, shot.
No.
Because you want the powder to explode.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's got you got to pack it.
Okay.
With that. So, yeah. Oh, God, so exhausting. Thank God we have automatic weapons. Thank you, NRA. Now we don't even have to think. I don't even have... All I have to
just
do...
Just point and click.
Exactly. Just maybe if you feel like it, yell grandma once to see if she's not going to the kitchen for... But if you don't recognize her going, yes, it's me, fire away. Fire at will, according to the NRA. God bless you. thank you.
Grandma! Especially in church.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's been kind of the amazing point, is watching Beck and all those guys backpedaling from, you know, they're playing with fire, you know, around, you know, dry brush.
Right.
And then they're surprised when the whole woods go up and they go, if the trees didn't want to burn, they wouldn't be so flammable.
Why were the trees so dry?
Yeah, right. It's not my fault.
Just sitting there waiting
just common
catch
sense
fire.
That you did. So, yeah, so... They come out and, you know, and meanwhile, we're also dealing with, you know, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad comes out and says Obama should not. Well, let's play the clip, actually, because he'll hear it in his own translated words. Obama needs to correct himself.
Why do you speak so rudely with a great nation? You have gotten it all wrong.
Oh.
I thought you were talking to me.
No. Okay.
Here it is. That's Obama. A good one, though.
Yeah.
Correct yourself. We don't want to see the big fiasco of the Bush administration repeated in the new U.S. era.
Correct yourself before you wreck yourself, Obama.
Respect yourself.
Ahmadinejad is starting to, yeah. You better think. Think what you're asking. next tomorrow he'll be coming out going to, you know, to try and stay relevant. He'll be going, do you want to be starting something?
What's
You've
going
got to
on?
Be starting something.
What is going on?
I try to get over. Yeah, yeah. You get up, get under. Yeah. I'm stuck in the middle.
And the pain is thunder.
I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
Speaking of your wad and your
telling him to shave
ball
that
and your shot in the wrong yeah, direction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, yes. Dave in Buffalo on line 3 would like to correct us on shot, ball, wad.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Yes.
Dave, are you there?
Hi there.
Thank you, please, for calling in, because it's so, you know, you don't want to mix this up, because if the red coats come and we're all stuck and
we don't know how to work our
we run out of cartridges.
Somebody could get really hurt.
Absolutely. Yes.
You're doing a great job, and I'm thinking if you can fill in for me at my job.
I can pretend to do your job as well as I can pretend to be able to do Stephanie's, I suppose.
Okay.
What is it?
So the order is, when you're loading from the muzzle end.
Yes.
You know, the sharp end of the gun.
Yeah, not popping open like a shotgun. Right.
Right.
Yep.
It's charge or powder.
Yep.
Wad,
yes,
and then ball or shot. The ball and the shot are interchangeable.
That's
ball
true.
Being a bullet,
right.
And
yes.
shot
being
like loose,
buckshot or rock TV. Salt if you want to get kids off your property.
Right.
I had rock salt fired at me when I was a kid in Kentucky.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I was too far away. But you could hear, we were running so fast, and you just hear, and then you hear, which was the rock salt. Hitting.
Yeah, you can hear it hit the leaves around.
Exactly. It was hitting that. We were running through a tobacco field.
Yeah.
Right across. Well, thank you so much for that call,
okay,
David. Straighten us out. That's all awesome. Right. Thank God for people like him. I also want to, do we have time to go to a couple calls?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to deal with the Michael Jackson stuff. Albert is mad at TMZ. Albert, Fort Myers, you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so you're mad at TMZ about how they dropped the news?
Oh, yeah. I got it from my niece first. She told me to go to TMZ to check it out. And this big, bold letters, Michael Jackson is dead, filthy. So I turned to CNN, and no one, or MSNBC, and no one confirmed it.
Right.
So I'm like, how can they do this? You know, almost like they just looking for ratings, looking for, you know, more publicity.
Well, that's all. I mean, that's all that arm is. I mean, they have no actual. There's no downside to them getting it wrong. This is
correct.
The difference between them and a legit news organization is they can say, if they say Michael Jackson is dead, and then it comes back later that he isn't, the news.
They're not going to lose any credibility.
They're not going to lose any credibility. They had none to start with.
Right.
They are
correct.
A gossip website. The problem is when you're dealing with life and death. There's an element of cruelty that sort of comes in,
yeah.
And especially if the person is alive. You know, that's the other thing we deal with, is that that's why news organizations wait that extra beat and wait for official confirmation.
Yeah, they get official news organizations. I was a journalism major, you
yeah.
see. And you have to get confirmation from two sources, two independent sources.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, all the legitimate news organizations yesterday were waiting until they got confirmation from another source.
Right, specifically the hospital, the doctor, or
right.
his own physician, somebody who was
right.
in a position to know. The problem also is that, you know, the way they run it, you know, because TMZ, and I'm going to let you go. Thanks for the call, Albert. TMZ tends to put it up there like Michael Jackson, dead.
Yes.
You know, as cruelly, succinctly, as quickly as possible to kind of make sure that they get credit for, you know,
scoop.
The news.
Yep.
By the way, for the record, a lot of people say TMZ breaks the story. They always talk about they break the story. They don't break the story. There's no story. They break a detail.
Yeah.
If you break a detail, if you tell somebody's alive or dead, that's just a detail. You're just telling me the detail. The story is how it happened. Why it happened, when it happened.
And that's still developing.
And that's still developing. So they don't break anything at TMZ. I'm not a big fan of those guys over there. Neither is Albert, and that's why we love him.
That's right.
We'll be back in a moment. We've got Joan. Don't hang on the line, Joan. We're going to talk to you in a little bit, too. And we'll take your calls. 1-800-STEPH-12, The Stephanie Miller Show with Al Sparks.
Oh, my God. I am already having a fantastic time.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
He was not talking to you, Chris. That's not what he's saying.
Okay.
He's not saying, you go, girl. That's not what that was about. Not at all. This is Al Sparks filling in for Stephanie Miller. 1-800-STEP-12 is our number. Let's play a little bit more of this game.
This was off of Bad?
Yes.
Okay. This is a great song.
Yeah. The Way You Make Me Feel. I'll pick you up in my car and I will paint the town. Welcome to Michael Jackson's 1950 idea of what it is to go on a date with a girl. Still.
That's what happened when he went out on that date with Brooke Shields.
Yeah.
Yes.
The way you make me feel. Again, almost from the point of view of the girl. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, this is like, and I think that was the appeal to some, you know, people will talk up and down about the androgyny of Prince's music, and,
yeah.
and part of the appeal was that women and men can almost interchangeably sing the song and it still has some meaning.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that to Michael Jackson stuff,
mm-hmm.
If you really look at it. You know, Rock With You, Pretty Young Thing, not having a particular slant.
Did PYT ever use a gender-specific pronoun?
I could be wrong. And callers, you can call in 1-800-STEP-12 and correct us on this if you want to scour the song and make sure that there's not a he or a she in there.
Yeah.
But Pretty Young Thing was pretty much
that's true.
The genera of pop music. Let me take a call real quick.
Sure.
Because Joan in Florida apparently met Michael Jackson.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Joan, you there?
Yes, I am.
And you met Michael Jackson?
Yes, I was stationed over in Germany, and everywhere I went to, I was in the Marines, and I was would travel around in different places, and
mm-hmm.
Everywhere I went to, they would ask me, you know, what is America like, you know, how is America, and they would say, how's Michael Jackson?
They would ask how he is. When you see Michael Jackson, tell him I said hi. You're in the Marines. He was a Marine, right?
Yeah.
He's you've met him, right?
Oh yeah.
But you did? You met him actually?
Yeah. Yes, I actually met him. Yes, he was very shy. I tried not to squeeze his hand too hard because everybody keeps telling him.
Well, you're a Marine, and he was, you know, and he would tend to go, oh!
Yeah.
You're probably squeezing him just so he'd go, oh!
Yeah, I didn't want him to break on me.
Absolutely.
You know?
I broke Michael Jackson. Well done. thanks for the call, Joan.
Yeah, that's not hard to
you
do.
You don't want to be the person in history who broke Michael Jackson.
What?
Yeah, that's why I wore the glove. For all those years, because Joan shook his left hand. Yes, Shimon. thank you. The sound of Michael Jackson being crushed. Thank you for that, Chris. Let's go to Laura, too. She's in Chicago. Laura, you're not a fan of how Larry King...
No, I was watching CNN yesterday.
Uh-huh.
You know, I wanted to see what was going on.
Sure.
And Larry King had this whole panel of people who were talking about Michael Jackson.
Right.
What was funny was that they were asking him, they kept, like, asking him, what was he really like? What was he really like? Like, he was going to come out and say, well, he actually lived with animals in a zoo, and people would have gone, oh, that's so shocking.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
you know,
what are we going to find out that's different?
Right. Well, and by the way, was Corey, I didn't get this, I got a tweet about this yesterday, and I have to check if this is true. Was Corey Feldman actually on that panel?
Oh, good God. If it was, I'd missed it.
Either that or Corey Haim.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. Well, Feldman used to dress up like him. Remember, there was a big phase.
Well, wasn't Feldman in that Pepsi commercial with him?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like one of his boy toys,
right.
Speaking of boy toys.
And,
then, when Feldman grew up, he got Macaulay Culkin.
He was one of his lost boys, as it were.
Yes.
Thank you for the call.
That
thank you for
good.
The call. Ooh, you know, I do what I can. Bye. First we have a Marine who nearly killed Michael Jackson, and then another woman who thinks that Larry King should leave him alone after the... You know, it's funny that maybe they'll play, oh, just leave me alone to Larry King as their, you know, as the funeral march.
Another good song.
Yeah.
Wow.
And again, you know, a real play on what was the deal with Michael Jackson psychologically, what he was going through, because he was raised from a very young age. I remember seeing those interviews with him where he was saying that, you know, he had acne
mm-hmm.
when he was a teenager,
mm-hmm.
and people were cruel about it, you know, because he had bad skin. And you right. imagine how, like, how we treat Jessica Simpson and stuff when she gains a little bit of weight and
sure.
stuff, the way people, like, go after her. And Michael Jackson went through this pre-Twitter, pre-Facebook, pre-MySpace, pre-TMZ, and, you know, TM Sleaze.
The only thing we had was Jet. Jet Magazine.
Absolutely. And they were probably nice to him. But he was also pre-Photoshop.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what
true.
I mean? You know, there was a lot more work that needed to be done. You actually had to physically paint pictures to make them look nice.
You had to use an actual airbrush.
Right, yeah. and so that was a big scarring moment for him, apparently. You know, I kind of feel for the guy. But that song, I mean, that really shows, like, what he was dealing with, you know. And, in the video, remember the video for it? He had the Elephant Man bones.
They showed
the monkey and they, you know, Bubbles, his chimp.
He addressed all of that head on in that video.
And of course, but sitting in a little rocket ship that was going through basically It's a Small World ride, you know, which was a weird kind of very also telling about him, which is the Neverland thing.
Right.
So he was in a very interesting bubble of his own making, you know, this crisscross between young artist, child star that we are responsible for blocking in. And I'm just hoping that we're learning our lesson over time with child stars and people who are going, like, Justin Timberlake, I think, is a pretty, in a similar situation, young kid started on the, you know, Mickey Mouse Club.
Mm-hmm.
Has grown into his own pop star as a huge Michael Jackson fan, certainly affected by him.
Right.
And in a much better psychological shape than many of his contemporaries.
Sure.
And I'm hoping that he becomes the vanguard, as it were, for what it really means to be, you know, a celebrity and, you know, the like.
Yeah, you know, you got both sides of the coin with Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears.
Right,
And at one time they were linked.
Yeah, same situation, divergent paths, you know. And so we hope that, you know, we're... You can let some of these people be a little bit more. I mean, I know we want to know.
It's hard to, you know, just because of the constant pressure.
Well, I know you
kids.
Were having a hard time yesterday not going on Perez Hilton all day.
I mean, it was like I didn't go on Perez Hilton once. I was really
very proud
really
of you.
Proud of myself.
You're sitting in a corner scratching your arm, you know.
Well, no, I removed his bookmarks.
Just a link, baby. That's all I need. Just a link. That's all I need. All I want to do is, what's happening with Jen? I know she's going out with Bradley Cooper. Is she going to be a new Brad and Jen? Is this they're supposed to expect that I'm supposed to? I just want to look. I want to peek. Can you use the F word again?
I accidentally did go there once.
No,
but it was only because on Twitter, you know, someone had a bit.ly link, you know?
Right.
And so you don't know where it's going to
take
you.
It was a tiny URL.
Exactly.
They'll get you every time. Oh, I didn't need to see that.
Oh, damn it. Click out.
I have the same problem because I have some porn friends from being on Showtime and doing family. They did family business, so I know Seymour Butts and a couple of these people. So I'm Twitter friends with them or whatever, and occasionally they'll have a link on there and they'll go, this is hilarious. And then their idea of hilarious is... It's not hilarious at all. It's frightening. You know, to anybody who doesn't see sex 24/7 up close on HD vision, that's not funny. That's just disgusting. Thank you.
Ron Jeremy in HD.
Exactly, They're like, look at this picture of Ron Jeremy. You know, I'm not even going to describe it. I'm horrified myself just even remembering it. But can we get Casper?
Yeah,
let's go real quick. Neil in Casper, Wyoming.
Hi, this is what I'm having a hard time with, Farrah Fawcett dying and Ed McMahon dying and now with Michael Jackson dying.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Richards has outlived all of them.
It's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you make an excellent point there, Neil. Thanks for the call. He's
of a healthy living.
Yes, Keith. What do you think the key is? Obviously, and I'm going to ask you a question, Keith, because I think, we've got you here in the studio, and I think it's... It's a joy to
be. I'm still conscious.
It's true. So that's not your blood, first of all. That helps.
No. Possibly to say it's from really.
I totally agree.
And I assume most of it's human.
That's true. You make an example. I think that's why Keith Richard has survived, is because it's not necessarily. It's not actually him. This is Hal Sparks filling in for Stephanie Miller on The Stephanie Miller Show, 1-800-STEPH-1-2. And we'll be back, and we're going to be starting something.
You got to be by the sugar fly with me. Won't you know now?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Hal Sparks, filling in for Steph. She decided to take an extra day before going on her vacation, and I can't say blame her, but she was nice enough to leave me her mooks.
Yes.
I guess is the proper word for the two of you.
Mookage.
And you're comfortable with that word for the two of you? That's great.
We don't have any say in the matter.
Oh, so. That's sad.
It's out there.
Yeah. Mm,
no, it's just never getting it back. It's kind of like nude pictures of you on the internet, Jim. They're never.
What?
You can't take them down. I'd warned you about that. Didn't you hear the ad?
It was cold.
Right. It was cold.
It was Spanish Harlem in the middle of winter. Come on. No wonder. Shrinkage.
Oh, I see. It wasn't the nudity that he was worried about. It was the impression of the nudity that people had that he was concerned with. That's a... That's very telling. 1-800-STEP-12 is the number. Please, before I get onto any more of this, please call your senator and your congressperson. You have, if you're listening to this show and you have been listening to Stephanie for a while, or you listen to any of our lovely progressive talk anywhere in the country, and you don't know your congressperson's name and your senator, it's as easy as an internet click. Mm-hmm. Go on. There are umpteen sites now where you can find out. Pop in your zip code, and you will find out who your senators are, of course, for your state, that's easy, but and who your congressperson, what district you're in, and how to contact them. Put that number in your phone. Put the Capitol switchboard number in your phone. We'll even fire them up. In the next hour, we'll have a couple of sites for you that we'll mention and the Capitol switchboard number. The climate bill is the vote's probably coming today. Late in the day, Obama's still making a hard push for it. There's a lot of push back on it. There's a lot of people, entrenched interests, who do not want us to move into the future. Right now, China is exporting more solar power than we are. That makes no sense at all.
Right.
Why we're drawing any of our energy from foreign oil at this point is a 15-year mistake. It's something we should have handled in the middle of the 90s, and we're behind the eight ball in a lot of ways on cost. Gas is going to go back up. I don't care what anybody says. It's going to dip down for a while to make it passive. But the truth is the cost of gas is way more than we pay for it. We just shelve off the cost, the actual cost of treating the waste and getting rid of it. There's cash cost and there's life cost. And we don't deal in life cost in this country, and we need to. We need to start looking at what, when you're talking about factory farms and you're talking about the food we eat, yes, the meat can be cheaper because you're getting it cheaper. But meanwhile, you're getting this food cheaper. People are getting waste dumped into their groundwater, and nobody's paying to clean it up. That's a cost. And if you don't deal with that cost, you're just putting it off till later. And we can't have a crash, as it were, like we had in the financial situation with our food supply and with our energy. And that's where we're headed if we don't do something about it. I think and the energy bill is a great start. And people need to call their senator and their congressperson and get on it. And if you're curious at all and you're not sure if you support it, by God, go on and read it. Watch Obama's speech he gave yesterday. That'll clear up some of it for you, at least from, you know, his perspective, and those who support him, I guess, their perspective as well. But look at it. And then take a little bit of action. You've got a whole weekend. You can leave a message. You can fax. You can do all kinds of things about all these issues that you care about. That, you know, I will leave this to Tom Hartman because he does it so bit better than I do, but get involved. And one of the ways you can do it is a simple phone call once a week, every 2 weeks. Call your senator's offices, call your congressperson. Okay, there, I'm done. Anyways, okay, so back to Michael Jackson's nose.
Wait a minute. Yeah. How can we find out more about you or what you're going to be doing this weekend?
Well, you can, first of all, you can go to HalSparks.com. You can follow me on Twitter. I managed to get HalSparks. Anytime they come up with a new social network,
right,
I have to jump on it immediately, whether it sucks or not.
Yeah.
Because someone else will steal my name and run with it. Because there are even people who will steal people like, you know, at my level, they'll tell our name. So that's why I have the real Hal Sparks. If you go for me on MySpace, somebody already took Hal Sparks immediately when they gave those URLs out.
Right.
I have Hal.Sparks on Facebook because I was able to grab that right away.
Right, because you waited up until, what, nine? Was it
eight
nine,
minutes yeah. past it. Yeah, when they released, I'm like, what?
That
they're
was
allowing
like a couple
that?
Weeks
oh,
ago, yeah.
Damn it. And then, you know, in the meantime, but I've managed, I am Hal Sparks on Twitter. You can follow me on there.
Yep.
You can read yesterday's joke and tell me what you think about it, if it was too soon, too much. it was a nice joke, and it was really about the plastic surgery element. It was not an element of his character. I was not slamming on the man. But we all dealt with the last 20 years of Michael Jackson, where, and you know, and Chris and Jim and I were talking about this during the break, but, you know, I thought the first round of plastic surgery that Michael Jackson had, not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's up to you if you want to do that kind of thing. I think that's everybody's choice. And I didn't think he needed it by any means. He was a good-looking guy to start with. But when he did it, you're like, oh, he kind of looks cool. I see what he's doing. I see what, you know, like we all have little things about ourselves we would change. And he just went ahead and did it. Looked great. But he didn't stop there.
Yeah.
And there weren't people around him that said, Michael, you look great. Stop. Leave it alone. And apparently, like tattooing and other things like that, people can get addicted to it, you know, even beyond what's necessary. And or even aesthetically pleasing.
It was more than a bridge too far.
Yes, it was.
Stopped at Nijmegen, and he wound up in Finland.
Right, so. Exactly. The bridge of his nose actually extended from here across the Bering Strait. So I don't know why, and this is also my own personal thing, I don't know why smaller nose is always better. I happen to find people attractive. I like a woman with a big nose. There I said it. I like a woman who has a slightly larger than normal nose. And I certainly don't need to go for, Jennifer Grey. That was a good example.
Oh.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful woman. Beautiful girl. I had a huge crush on her when she was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. She looked great in Dirty Dancing. Then she gets her nose fixed and disappears because there's something to be said for a character and a face. It's, you know, it's worth looking at. And if you do happen to have a feature that somebody's been giving you crap about because it's a little extraordinary, as it were, leave it alone, because I guarantee there's somebody out there like me who finds it attractive. So, you know, relax on that. But then his nose just got smaller, and there was also the debate whether it was even real at this point. Whether it was actually, it had to be applied.
Yes, I've heard that.
Every day.
He
because,
had several noses to
right,
on
and
there.
That's why, it, you know, if you watch the pictures, the nostrils change shape all the time because it's physically put on.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that was always the big debate.
Remember that picture of him? I think he was in court for something.
Yeah.
And there was
a seam kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, like a seam coming off of his nose. That
yeah.
was really, really creepy.
Well,
yeah.
And you just can't do that to your body.
No.
I mean, that's really what
there's only
what
so
the
much
issue.
Cartilage you can cut away.
Roz is calling from Atlanta, Georgia, and she has a concern about his physical being as well. That I think was an issue that came up in the 80s a lot. Roz, you there?
Oh, yes.
Tell everybody, I know what you're going to talk about, but I'd like to hear from you, what you had heard and what your concern was about Michael Jackson.
Well, I go back to the days of the Jackson 5 when he was a young child.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, there was a write-up in a certain magazine, I won't call the name, I don't want to get a lawsuit, where it was reported that he was reaching puberty and the concern was his voice was going to change and he was given massive amounts of female hormones. I dismissed the story at the time, but later years, mm-hmm. his voice never really changed. He never took on that real masculine tenor. I don't think the boy ever went through puberty, to tell you the truth. And I'm not using the boy in a derogatory.
Yes, I understand. As actual like boy, because he did, he was a, you know, he, and thanks for the call, yeah. Roz. He did kind of define childhood in a lot of ways. He was very child, like everybody talks about it, when he was a kid, he was singing these very adult songs and adult ideas as a very young,
yeah.
as a young kid with his older brothers. Here he is, the lead singer in the band, singing all these love songs
mm-hmm.
that were well beyond his years. But still, a Cupid doll kind of a voice, a very,
yeah.
like a kid's voice. Not, it wasn't like somebody like Fiona Apple, whose voice sounds like she's, you know.
Mm. Been smoking road flares for years.
Right, exactly. Well said.
Thank you.
I
did a bad, bad thing.
Exactly. How bad could it be? You're 17, right?
Yeah,
yeah, right. It's not happening. But Michael Jackson, you know, even though he's dealing with these big topics, his voice was ABC, you know, like really like helium zone.
Yeah. But still, it was powerful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the kid had pipes.
Yeah,
it was all lungs.
Right.
But it was
still young sounding.
Yes, it was squeezing through a tiny little vocal cords that were just like, when you squeeze a balloon and you pull the sides apart, it's going to make a very high pitched noise because of the pressure.
Right.
But that was basically all there was to it. And as he got older, It's got to be interesting for an artist who's known, and a lot of artists deal with this, you're known for a really high voice, a really high singing range,
mm-hmm.
and then over time your voice starts to shift.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, the male voice versus the female voice.
And you're a singer, so you know.
Yeah,
all, yeah.
The male voice actually gets stronger with age in some ways and gets higher with age if you push it that direction.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Steven Tyler, like he was working way harder as a singer. Paul Stanley of Kiss, working way harder as a singer when he was younger.
Yeah.
Lower round. You know, think of Toys in the Attic and the squeakiness of that.
Yeah.
Versus like now it's Steven Tyler can skate through a really high pitched set and a really high pitched song the whole time without much effort, and it's because of just I think it has something to do with the fact that we're all primates, and the primate male voice you get physically weaker with time, so your voice has to get stronger as a matter of primates. That's always the theory I'd heard from the vocal teachers I studied with,
was okay,
that there's hope. If you can't sing now and you're a young man, you probably can when you're 50. The golden voices. It doesn't help when you push dry smoke past it all the time, though. You know what I mean?
These aren't even my vocal cords. I got them to Goodwill. They're actually the elastic band of an old pair of underwear.
It's
the carburetor of a 64 Aston Martin.
It's the belt line of it. But that was the myth that I heard, or whether it's myth or not, that was what I'd heard when I was in high school. There were several different things. The vitiligo versus he's having his skin lightened through treatments. Mm-hmm. Is his nose fake, and the female hormones. These are the three big...
I had never heard the female hormones one, but that makes total sense.
Yeah, that his dad, that was part of, his dad trying to, manufacture that. That was when the Jackson 5 was really still going to be the big thing. He had solo albums, but they were still going to be, and then he blew up in such a way that it was all him. After Thriller, there was no Jackson 5 in a lot of ways. And then it was just...
They released that one album, The Jacksons, Michael sang on a few songs, but it didn't hit as big as Michael Jackson.
No, it was one of those things where he was trying to make it.
Phil Jackson was trying to sing.
Phil Jackson. Yeah. It was Victoria Jackson, which was very weird.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna. It's because I brought up some of the reform issues and calling your senators. Lisa from Florida is against health care reform. Hold on. Is that true, Lisa?
Hi.
You there? Hi.
You know what? I'm off topic. But,
That's okay. So am I.
We can talk about
it. I can dovetail it back in. I can
talk about plastic surgery. We're sort of
on the internet and got another one of those emails about supporting health care.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of called, and then I started, listening to this topic.
Uh-huh.
But I had just done some research on some of these drug companies.
Right.
And you can look it up. I Wikipedia'd the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then it popped into my head that they were all in the food poisoning business. And, look it up for yourself. They're all making genetically modified food. They're all making pesticides.
Right. And they're
and
all nerve-oriented stuff.
For that.
All the research that's been done and all the stuff that we're dealing with and the problems that we're getting from a lot of the foods. And thanks for the call, Lisa. Not afraid to take it. It's okay if you're off topic. Love you for it. that a lot of these companies, the Monsantos of the world, are dealing in food, pesticides, and pharma-narcotics, which is a really weird thing. They're all in the same zone, have a nervous effect on the human body.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting that that's where the research has gone. And it's almost like it all spawns from MKUltra and the CIA, that they were like, we need to figure out how to mind control people. Look at this, though. But you can make them, if you touch this nerve, they taste strawberries for a week. Everything tastes like strawberry. How do we fix that? And that's, NutraSweet and those kind of things. They don't actually make you, they don't actually taste sweet. They make your brain think you're tasting something sweet, which is a really scary notion.
Yeah.
They bypass your tongue entirely. And I don't,
your brain.
I am not for anything that bypasses my tongue entirely. you're listening to the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Hal Sparks. Our number is 1-800-STEPH-12. I'm filling in for the day. I got Jim and Chris with me.
You got some mookage.
Yeah, I got some mookage happening. And we'll be taking a couple more of your calls and dealing with DOMA and Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I want to talk about a little bit of that when we come back. So stick with us.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crime.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Get out of my cut, get out of my spleen, get out of my strut. And what do you mean, daddy? I never figure out the words to this song. Get out of my butt! What? What did you just say? What was that?
I know there's something about injustice in here.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
Man! Yeah, make me want to scream.
This was his last great song.
Oh, so great. Him and Janet together.
Yep.
And a good video, too.
Yeah. Janet grabs her boobs and it pushes them together.
Bless her heart.
Yeah.
I always wanted
those new boobs of hers at the time.
They're fantastic. People complain, those aren't real. They're real nice. They're real pretty. They're real big. That's fine.
Yep.
You know, I'll take my reality where I can get it. Let's don't talk to me about you don't like fake boobs and then watch Rock of Love. Don't tell me that you're watching Survivor or American Idol thinking that's real and then I can't. Never mind. All right, I'm railing against it. I'm going to take some calls because we got a lot of people calling in. Another one of the big Michael Jackson myths/stories, you know, we never really got to figure out was, of course, Jen in Buffalo, the hyperbolic chamber.
Yeah.
Hyperbaric, beg your pardon. Hyperbolic, it would require some sort of...
some sort of sine curve.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly.
Michael Jackson mentioned that it gave him so much energy, so he had one and he slept in it. And so I looked it up because, of course, I want one.
Sure.
And everything that I read about it was prolonged use of that is so damaging to your heart because when you leave the hyperbaric chamber, you're not used to the regular atmosphere.
Right. It's like the pressurization thing that they talk about, how like pilots and stewardesses and flight attendants all have... brain swelling over time and heart issues over the length of their career, more so than some people, just because they're the pressure of taking off and landing and taking off and landing. They fly all the time. And that's why they passed those laws that, you know, they can only do it for 3 days at a time and they need a certain number of breaks, even for the flight attendants, even for the crews.
Right.
So that's why sometimes you'll have to wait for your crew when you're late on a plane. But yeah, that's an excellent point. And so did you end up buying one? You didn't end up getting one installed?
Yeah, no, I don't have the room for one in my apartment.
Right. Well, yeah.
That'd be a little bit weird bringing someone home like, hey, welcome to my place. It's my kitchen. This is my bedroom. And, of course, that's my hyperbaric chamber. There's not room in there. We'll go in one at a time.
I think the hyperbolic chamber is where you tell tall tales.
Yes, it is. Right. Yeah, right.
Ah, okay.
Yes, exactly. Cheers. And let's... sorry, Jen. Thanks for the call very much. And we're going to go to San Francisco to Abby, since we were talking a little bit about Sanford and how he got off without a hitch. Abby, you there?
Yes, Hal, I'm here.
And you have some of the same issue I have about the reactions from the right about Obama taking his wife out on a date.
And how this ties in with the, cheating Mark Sanford.
Right.
If we can recall, when Obama took Michelle on date night, there was all this Republican outrage about taxpayer dollars being spent for him to go to New York.
Absolutely.
To take his wife out, and now we've got, cheating.
At least
Mark
he was
Sanford.
Married to her.
We
got to take a break. Abby, thanks for your call. Our number's 1-800-STEP-1-2, Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Hal Sparks.
Stephanie Miller.
She may not be smart or pretty, but she's loyal as a Rottweiler.
Now, this is one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Michael Jackson song.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Stay, so take your weight off of me. I know your every move, so won't you just let me be? Now, I've been here times before, and I was too blind to see. You seduce
every man, okay. Cause I'm you won't seduce me. Okay, listen to this. This is Dirty Diana.
Yeah.
Who writes a song about a groupie they don't want to sleep with? This is one of the weirdest things about Michael Jackson to me.
Yeah.
Dirty Diana. No. Dirty Diana.
No. He's saying no to Dirty Diana. Now, this is the second song that Michael Jackson has about a girl he didn't sleep with. Billie Jean.
Village.
He is not my son.
Yeah, she's claiming he slept with her.
And she's saying it didn't happen.
Exactly.
Dirty Diana, I'm telling this woman that I'm not this, floozy. And it's like...
Wow.
A life that's so carefree.
But the music of this song, is fantastic. Yeah. There's incredible tension in this song.
Yep.
It speaks greatly to his ability as a musician. If you make me a star, I love it, even though I totally disagree with the premise.
Yeah.
Because I don't relate to this at all. Because here's the thing. I grew up as a big Kiss fan.
Uh-huh.
I come from the metal side of things. Groupies are a big part of that. And the appeal, quite frankly.
Sure.
Gene Simmons has been on record many times as saying, any musician who tells you that they got into music for the, to contribute to rock especially, to contribute to the social integrity of mankind is crap. It's girls. And I'm sure there's some variance in truth in that. But the point being is that when you're 13 years old and you're like, I want to be a rock star.
Uh-huh.
One of the things you think about is the fact that girls will now like me.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, or boys, depending on what you're after.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But point
Adam
being.
Adam Lambert.
Yeah, right. Good for him, by the way. I'm a fan of the guy. I mean, I know, you know, I catch, you know, hell because apparently Chris Allen looks like me. But,
a little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit. Oh,
weird?
My God. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. Don't get me started. But, you go, Adam. I'm just saying I got your back, brother. I think
I love Randy Travis's reaction to him, though.
Right.
He was totally freaked out.
Yeah, right.
I think that feather might be a little Latin. The Tony Llamas.
Yeah,
I don't hold with
that. Why is he singing country with me? That's not. You know,
that's not right.
I thought the only gay in, you know, was Toby Keith's beard. I thought that was the only gay. We had a meeting of the country artists, and we said the only gay we're going to have is Toby Keith's beard and his cap teeth. And that's I know he wants to be like, he wants to be like kind of gay from the nose down. That's fine. That's all right. You know, if he wants to be George Michael from, you know, chin to nose. But, whoa, where was I? Anyways, I got carried away. So Dirty Diana.
Yeah.
So, Billie Jean and Dirty Diana were always the big, you know, questions in my head, like, who writes that song? You know what I mean? What do you think? And the first lyric of it is, you'll never make me stay, so take your weight off of me. This woman is overpowering him.
Yeah.
Talk about losing power. You know, if you think of, you know, how artists traditionally, even Madonna as a woman, doesn't cede power in her music. Like, the singer is always the protagonist in these circumstances. And if their heart is broken, then it's an emotional thing. But it certainly wasn't because, get off of me. You're too heavy, woman. I can't. You're, owie. Hurdy.
Like,
I mean, really. That's kind of crazy.
Can't imagine Steven Tyler singing that.
No. No, not at all.
No.
We'll take a Michael Jackson thing, and Julius says me don't say anything negative. Julius, you there? Julius, we got you?
Yes.
There you are.
How are you?
I'm great. And you're a fan, a Jackson fan.
I'm a very big fan.
Yeah.
I'm just not real happy because I think right now
there's
many people, including me, that are just not, we're emotionally a little distraught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to lose such a wonderful human being and somebody who's really affected us throughout our entire life and such a great talent. And then to hear nothing from you guys except just making fun of his facial surgery.
What?
That's not all.
We have been praising his music.
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me.
You can't say nothing but, in all honesty,
okay.
We can have a discussion about this, and I can totally hear you that you know, you feel sensitive about it, but don't just say, you know, make a blanket statement because it absolutely is not true. I've been coming from the point of view of a fan all morning. Every song he's popping up, I know the lyrics to, and that's because I am a fan. I get it.
How about this?
Yes.
How about this? How about wait till tomorrow for the facial surgery joke?
We're not on tomorrow.
How about that, okay?
Right. I understand. Okay, cheers. Well, thanks for the call. And I appreciate him having the guts to say that. And
sure,
as a fan,
absolutely.
I respect that. I think the interesting thing about Michael Jackson and why this comes up and why is because he's been such a controversial figure for so long.
Mm-hmm.
There was not with Princess Di, when she went, there was an element of, you know, she was still in kind of this, you know, like haze of perfection to some degree for a lot of people. And so there was nothing to question about. But Michael has had so many stories about him, true and untrue.
Mm-hmm.
And as fans, we have dealt with this.
Sure.
As people who like his music, you've been kind of, you know, it's the same thing with Prince. If you look at Prince, I love Prince. I would go see him live anytime I can or whatever. But there was a period where he came out on stage in a raincoat and underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And as a fan, you're like, dude, really? And but that didn't stop me from being a fan.
Right.
And so this is, you know, we're dealing with it in our own way, I think.
And if there's going to be a discussion about Michael Jackson, it has to be a discussion about the
Michael
whole
Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
You can't
not just about the good stuff.
Yeah, you can't just martyr him and just make it, you have to.
Because that's dishonest.
Yeah, exactly. And he's an entire life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot to him. And Marilyn in California has a really good question. Marilyn, you there?
Yes, I am.
You're concerned about his kids.
I am, and I don't hear anybody talking about mm-hmm. it at all. You know, the mother, to me, was like a broodmare. I don't think
right.
she gave a damn about those kids. So who does? Where are they?
Mm-hmm.
What has happened to them as a result of being Michael Jackson's children?
Right.
You know, so I really would like somebody to start covering this, finding out where are these babies. Well, I don't even know if they're babies anymore. How old are they? Does anybody know?
They showed pictures of them the other day.
Did they? Okay, well, I didn't see those.
Well,
but again,
you know,
I really think that somebody needs to be finding out. The parents, I believe, are too old to be taking care of these children. They've got to be, what, in their 70s?
I thank you for the call, and I do think to some degree we do get very concerned
mm-hmm.
About the children of celebrities, especially in a circumstance where, and especially where, like where people were with Britney's kids, she was acting out and she was going through her rough period, that was a big concern for a lot of people. And the same thing with Michael Jackson. You're that rich, you're that famous, you're that well known in the whole world. How do your kids ever grow up normal, whatever normal is?
Right.
I've always been a big believer that normal is highly overrated, and the idea that you as a celebrity would want your kids to have a normal experience is kind of backpedaling on where you are in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was funny, like Beyonce sometimes comes out and goes, I just want my kids to have a normal life. I just want to drive my kids to school and drop them off and just have a normal life. Okay. There's nothing normal. It's impossible. There's
right.
no way that Beyonce can roll up in an Escalade blasting one of her 9 Grammy-winning albums and have her kids go into the school and have a normal life. They will be kings of that school no matter what happens. You send
mm-hmm.
them to a regular public school, they will own the place. The only way those kids can have a normal life is if you send them to some Swiss private school where their friends there are the sons of
right.
Saudi princes and
right.
financial millionaires who look down on them because all their mom does is sing for a living.
Right.
And then they'll know what it's like to be in high school when they're pantsed by the Saudi prince, because their mom's only worth $50 million. That's always the curious thing. Teddy's calling in, too, to make a point about Michael Jackson's humanitarian work. Teddy, you there?
Yeah. I agree with it. That was a great point, actually, what you just made. And I just wanted to say he did a lot of great things, as a humanitarian.
Mm-hmm.
He did a lot of good things for all over
well,
the
I mean,
world. Well,
I mean, heal the world, and we are the world. I mean, the two biggest songs of the world, I think.
Exactly. And I think I haven't heard much about that. I know he has a lot of stories besides that. And, I think it's important to mention that he's done a
sure.
lot of work for kids, especially kids,
Yeah, well, and I think that's... I think, Teddy, you bring an interesting point. Is it's always hard to bring it up now, his humanitarian work, because he dealt with children so much, because of the tainted stories that came out about him in the 90s. It makes it hard for everybody to have the conversation. I think people don't talk about the humanitarian stuff because they're afraid to say he did a lot of work with kids without the snicker and the negative that will come with it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I know.
It makes it very difficult to do it and really deal with the fact that he dealt with hunger. He certainly mm-hmm. gave a ton to charity, did a lot of charity benefits, did
yeah.
a lot,
USA for Africa.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was huge.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I think if we have to talk about that, if we're going to talk about his sex surgery and
absolutely,
yeah.
And that's why I took your call, and I appreciate the call, Teddy.
It's part of talking about
excellent
the whole
point.
Man.
Yep. It's, he was a very complex individual. There's no other way to, there's no way to put that softly. We got a lot of people calling in. We got a lot of calls to take. It's 1-800-STEPH-1-2. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm filling in for her. I'm Hal Sparks. It's very exciting. It's a lot of news, a lot of stuff to talk about, and we will deal with a little bit more Michael, too, as we go on.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a Stephanie Miller Show, and I'm Hal Sparks, and I'm filling in. It's 1-800-STEPH, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, Stephanie Miller,
Oh, man. This is my buddy Chris Jericho, the wrestler. This is his favorite Michael Jackson song. So this goes out to Chris Jericho, who's a good dude. By the way, anybody know where that chorus comes from?
No.
Anybody ever taken a CPR class?
Oh, my God, you're right.
Annie, are you okay?
Yes.
Annie, are you okay? Michael Jackson.
Resusci Annie, that's the dummy that you practice on.
Absolutely. And Michael Jackson was having, you know, all these sick kids come to his place, and he learned CPR.
Okay.
Because he needed it. But, yeah. So,
wow,
Annie, are you
cool.
okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Annie, are you okay?
Wow.
So funny. There, apparently, people, when they take CPR class,
right.
A lot of people who take the class, learn how to do it, people have been reported of actually calling somebody Annie when they're giving CPR. Somebody has a heart attack, just random person, some old dude falls down, has a heart attack.
Just because it's trained.
People just go, Annie, Annie, are you okay? Woo, because they just, your brain goes into this autopilot,
right.
And you're just trying to help,
yeah.
You know. We've been, you know, skating this line back and forth of, you know, how do you talk about the positive and the negative of Michael Jackson? And Donna's not having any of it. Donna, are you there? You're in L.A. Donna? Can you hear me?
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi. No, you know what? I'm bothered by this whole love fest for Michael Jackson.
Right.
And no one is mentioning the fact that he was a pedophile.
Well,
he was never convicted because he was able to buy them off. But he was a pedophile.
Well, that's the I hear you, and I think that's where the difficult line is, because he was never convicted, because he settled. That's where it falls, and this is the trick of our legal system and the trick of our pop culture. To some degree.
Because he was wealthy and he was able to buy people's silence, that didn't make him any less a pedophile. And
right.
It bothers me to no end that everyone is just doing this whole love fest. And
I understand that. Right. Well, and again, I appreciate the call, because I think
it's hard to, you know, call him a pedophile when you have no personal
proof of it. That's the problem.
And you can't call him a pedophile.
Right. You have to. It always has to be couched in alleged.
Right.
It always has to. And you can have your own belief about it. I certainly have my own beliefs about it, and I have my own issues with it. And that was a drag on me as a fan for a long time. And why when the flabbergasting fans come forward, and when they remember when they were surrounding him at the courthouse, and a lot of people were watching, going, man, he, you know, it's what he's there for, and what. He may, you know, even if he's not guilty of, you know, the harshest of harsh,
right.
There's definitely something wonky going on here.
Yeah.
And that's what most of us were thinking, whether it's true or not. That's, and I'm dealing with the fact that his legacy is always it will always be tainted with this element.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, I was saying earlier, I think to Terry, I guess, who called in, I think that was his name, sorry. But, who was saying basically, don't forget his humanitarian work.
Right.
The problem is most of his humanitarian work was done with children. And most of us who watched enough A&E go, a lot of child molesters become circus clowns and, kids party clowns and deal with, work in daycare centers and stuff. And
they can be
around
children.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it always becomes suspect. And it's become such a thing in this culture that you actually worry about almost every place you leave your kids now. Mm-hmm. And now maybe we erred on the. Not cautious at all for a long time. But now we're erring, I think, on too much. I don't think the world is overrun with the MySpace pedophiles the way the media would have you believe, certainly. But Donna brings up a great point, and that's the difficulty people have, is that because of the controversy about it, because he was never convicted, and because he paid someone off, basically, like he settled. The perception is that he's guilty but was never caught,
right.
But there was never any proof. So there's you're in this weird legal and libelous zone that you can't actually go out of there. And it's very it makes a lot of people very angry who absolutely are advocates for children, which I totally understand. And then it's very hard for, the fans that like him to deal with the fact that there's this thing, where do you go? So so I hear from you, and that's why I wanted to take
but it's all part of talking about
absolutely
the entirety of Michael Jackson.
Absolutely. And Adam in San Francisco, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say you guys are doing a wonderful job, and plus I wanted to say that my whole entire life I've never cried until yesterday when I heard Michael Jackson died. So
and
did you find yourself surprised that you cried?
honestly, I grew up with him. I'm an 80s child.
Right.
And,
right.
I don't know what, I must have heard his music in my mother's womb or something, but I've always had a connection with Michael Jackson, even to his music.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard he passed away, you know, I just couldn't hold it in. I'm a manly guy, too.
Yeah. Well, I don't question that at all, man. You know, crying is a manly act. I think Harrison Ford in Air Force One settled that once and for all. But I know how you feel, because there are moments when, you know, culturally, you don't know how much something has affected you until you've lost it. I think Tom Kiefer of Cinderella said, don't know what you got until it's gone.
Yes.
And,
actually, and, it was Joni Mitchell, but yeah, close enough.
All right, look, do not step on my metal toes, my friend, when it comes to... but I hear you, like, you know, Is he probably the biggest? I mean, who's your favorite artist of all time? Is it Michael Jackson or is it?
Yeah, it has always been Michael Jackson. But you know, as you grow up, you start finding other artists.
Right.
And Michael Jackson stopped making his music and all that, so you start finding.
So it's probably that, you know, it's an element of your childhood that you're really dealing with. A lot of us mourn the passing of a pop culture icon because we're mourning a part of ourselves. You know, I personally feel like in my life I've been five different people. If I met myself as a little kid, I don't know that I would recognize, you know, I wouldn't even recognize me in my 20s to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
I'd still like him. That was awesome. But there's an element of when part of that goes, it's a shock. I think a lot of people felt that way about Kurt Cobain. You know, another, you know, controversial pop culture death. You know, that people dealt with, huge fans, really emotionally, iconically attached to him, wear T-shirts with his face on it all the time. Same thing with Tupac, a controversial death. Less mm-hmm. so, you know, Michael Jackson, more of a controversial life in that regard, you know, the back and forth. But anyways, thanks for your call, Adam. I appreciate it. And thanks for being honest about it, you manly man.
Yeah. Kurt Cobain swore he didn't have a gun. And yet?
Right. Well, that's the other thing is that, you know, did he actually do it himself? Yes. And those kind of things. I mean, this is the world we live in, you know. How much of it is spin? I mean, look at the Sanford case. This
right.
was a great example of spin happening before the case, you know, before all of it. His staff came out and said he was hiking the Appalachian Trail. Now, there's two purposes for them saying that. One is they didn't know and they were covering their butts. They didn't know where he was. So they made something up. But what they made up was important because it created this artificial country narrative that fit into him
right.
as a country governor. He's a, you know, he's a governor of South Carolina, and so the kind of thing he would do is go out hiking for days on end, living off the land, whittling his own food, and, you know, living off of beaver teeth and badger skins, and, you know, come back just, you know, like a hermit.
Not counting on that big government stimulus money to fix the trail. He done fix it himself.
Exactly. He's just going out there to fix it himself so he can keep the money.
Onion.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, he's doing the most unsouthern thing in the world, which is having a Latin love affair in the most going so far south that he's almost in the Antarctica.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't and not telling his staff that he'd left the country
right.
without a security detail to have sex with his Argentinian lover for the last time because his wife kicked him out and it might ruin his career entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So everything about it is un-country, un-conservative, this Republican veneer
right.
that they sell, which none of them live up to. Newt Gingrich doesn't live up to it. Rush Limbaugh doesn't live up to it. Sean Hannity doesn't live up to it. Bill O'Reilly doesn't live up to it. They all set up this, and this is why Sanford was news, was that we have, you know, they create, it wouldn't be news if they just did it.
Right.
You know what I mean? To me, Vitter wasn't even really news, you know, except for the fact that he was this shiny, like, I'm a Republican, I'm a moralist, I have a...
My poop doesn't stink.
Exactly. Once you say that, once we find out it does, all bets are off. So, you're listening to the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Hal Sparks. Our number is 1-800-STEPH-12, stephaniemiller.com. We'll be right back.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Hal Sparks, filling in for Steph. The number is 1-800-STEPH-12.
StephanieMiller.com. By the way, as promised, up on StephanieMiller.com, if you go there,
In
the live blog section, there is a link to the page where you can find your representative. Bookmark that page. Email it to your friends so they at least know. Whatever their political slant is, they should at least know who they should be calling and when about stuff. So you can plug in your zip code and find out who your congressperson is. And you'll know your senators fairly easily, one would hope.
Hey, it shows you who your senators are, too.
Exactly.
So, yep.
So and their numbers are all there. And then the Capitol switchboard number is also there.
That's
so
right.
Any of these issues that affect you, I'm really excited. We have a couple people who want to call in and talk about health care and obviously about Sanford and those kind of things. Do me a favor. If you're willing to call into a radio show about Michael Jackson, you should be willing to call your congressperson about health care. You should be willing to call them about climate change. The climate change bill is going through today, and there's still some Dems on the fence. This is our big problem right now is the Blue Dog Dems, the ones that are too afraid to, you know, they can't believe Obama won. They can't believe they won.
Mm-hmm.
The jelly spines. And so we need to give them a little reassurance. We need to give them either a stern warning or a comfortable support. Look, I back you on the climate change bill. Just support it. This is what I want. This is what everybody else wants. Please do it. That being said, and obviously I like the information that I'm getting from you guys. We're getting emails. People are following on Twitter, of course. And we got an email. Chris, what was the email?
Yeah, we got an email from Kim in St. Paul. She said, "Hi, Chris. Based on his voice, I envisioned Hal as a grown-up version of Sherman, as in Peabody here, and this is my boy,
not
Sherman.
Clump. So, right.
From Rocky and Bullwinkle. I finally checked the website, and oh, mama, what a delicious piece of eye candy that man is. Stephanie's a fool if she lets her hammer toe get in the way of making beautiful music con Hal."
Wow. So stop beating around the bush and tell me what you really think.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Awesome. It's interesting. You know, we all hear our voices on, you know, our answering machines and go, no, you know.
Yeah.
And it's very funny that that's where the perception comes from. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's always curious when people don't know. Because, you know, that's the thing with Stephanie. She's a beautiful woman.
Yep.
But, you know, you can't tell in the world of radio.
Yeah.
You know, Harry Shearer used to do this character where, like, he's done it several times. He plays this guy with his deep radio voice, the sexy man. And then you come see him, and he's just this scraggly, skinny, weird, Ronnie James Dio-looking dude, you know. But you know, we've been doing well with dealing with the calls. We've been dealing with the issues of the day. If only we had another comedic voice to come in, if there was just some... Someone's at the door. That is so wild. And he's laughing through the little window, and I haven't even opened the door. Let's open the door.
Come in.
Where is
Hi, Hal.
Oh, you can't. Oh, good. He burst in. That's good.
Yeah.
How are you? It's John Fugelsang.
Yay.
Good morning.
John, how are you?
I'm really good, Hal. It's great to see you here. I'm really enjoying you on the show.
Why, thank you.
It's like a testosterone fest in here.
It totally is.
It's about time.
Welcome to Stephanie Miller's SausageFest.org. That's not a real website. Don't go there. Obviously, we have some calls. We'll talk to some of them. I actually want to go to Michael about the health care coverage issue, and you can kind of be there with me, because I think this is one of these things we're going to be dealing with till October, and we just got to make sure nobody chickens out too early. Michael, you there?
Hey, yeah, I'm here. Hey,
you've been holding a long time, and I appreciate that. Go ahead.
Hal, you're doing a great job. You really are, and a lot of people don't know how really difficult it is, and I'm really impressed, first of all, I want to say.
Thanks. Wow, all right.
I want to say something about healthcare, but I also noticed you haven't been playing with Stephanie's box. Did she tell you that you couldn't play with her box?
It's sitting right in front. Yeah.
Okay.
It's sitting right in front of him.
I have tried not to touch her box, but it's hard when her box is right in front of me not to touch it, especially hitting the same spot over and over and over again on her box. That's really different.
I was just curious. Anyway, about health care, a lot of people are saying, you know, call your senator, call your representative, say vote for this, vote for this. But one really, really important issue that nobody's talking about is the Republicans and the healthcare industry are going to try and push through something substandard.
Right.
And what you need.
What
to
I
do
mean
do
is public
need,
option. Right. You're,
well,
you,
well, public yeah. option is okay as long as it covers like 100% of the people.
Yeah.
100% of the people are allowed to get it. You have to tell your representatives
I
not
like,
to vote
yeah.
for
anything that doesn't have it.
Vote
yes.
No on anything that doesn't have 100% coverage.
Well said. Well said. Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call.
And if they don't believe in it, you know, ask them when they're going to give up theirs.
Exactly.
Because if it's so socialist, they can cut out theirs right now.
Right. So here's the two arguments we hear from the right about health care, government-run health care. On the one end, it will be so horrible that you will have to wait 16 months to get a colon transplant.
16
you know.
Months to get the results of your pregnancy test.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right. It will be horrible. Government run, just like all those other horribly run government institutions.
Socialism, like the army.
Yes, like the army and
the post
cops
office.
And the post office and
streets.
The DM. Yes, right. Street lights, which happen to not make people crash into each other.
Sanitation pickup.
Right.
Socialist garbage men.
Horrible.
Coming to get you.
And on the other hand, it will be so good, it will put the insurance companies out of business. That's right. It will at one point be so horrible no one will want it and everyone will die, but it will be so good that no one could offer a private option that would be able to compete with this horrible horribleness.
Makes no sense.
Oh, now I'm worried for the insurance company.
Exactly.
Someone's got to look out for the little guy.
Ugh. It's like, how will makeup community, if we give people pimple cream, what will makeup companies do? Still sell makeup.
Well, you
gotta
look. You gotta look at all those countries that had national health care and how hard they fought to get rid of it, and how happy
absolutely.
They are. Absolutely. Oh, what? Oh, there are none.
None.
Actually.
Right. Absolutely.
No country with socialized medicine has ever given it up.
Yes, and all of them are ahead of us in infant mortality rate, which is the highest aspect of it all. Life expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
Life expectancy is a good solid year and a half more than the United States. The percentage on and this is the thing that people are like, this is a pro-life issue.
Yeah, you
if
cannot
you really
call
want,
yourself pro-life and be opposed to this.
Exactly. You cannot. Because if you just happen to think, look, if you can't afford to stay alive, you deserve to die. That's just the least Christian thing I can possibly imagine.
Well, the one smart thing Hillary Clinton did 16 years ago was say that this is health care falls under the constitutional provision for a guarantee of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Absolutely. And as far as the government's concerned, providing for the common defense and the welfare.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The common welfare.
Exactly.
So if you
want to look at socialists, there's not a bigger one out there than Jesus.
Right, exactly.
I mean, he never charged for health care once.
Exactly. Well, you know, here's the thing. What if Jesus had turned all those loaves and, made all those loaves and fishes and then charged for them?
Mm-hmm.
This is what they're advocating. This is what they're really advocating. Look, I'm only going to turn this water into wine if I can make a profit. Really? That's the Jesus you remember, kids?
Mm-hmm.
That's really it? Terrific.
He drove the capitalists out of the temple. He said rich people couldn't go to heaven. He never charged for health care. Mm-hmm. He was a red.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And he drove the moneylenders from the temple,
exactly.
As it were. Which, if he did that today, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly would curse him for being a liberal and not understanding the necessity of churches raising money and operating as currency exchanges.
There's no greater liberal in history or literature than Jesus, and you brought up a good point, Hal, of making every... If you have the time to call into a radio show about Michael Jackson, you can call your representatives, and remember, they work for us, and so does Obama. And if you're going to defend Obama blindly, then you've already drunk the Bush Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It right now.
Absolutely. We've got Caitlin on from Florida. Caitlin, you there?
Oh,
Caitlin. Caitlin, you can't be texting.
Hello.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good.
Okay. I am a really, 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 really huge fan of Michael Jackson. Yes, I know I am calling about Michael Jackson.
Right. How old are you?
I'm 14.
Great. Okay. And you're a new fan, as it were, then.
Yes, I've always heard the song Thriller on, the radio and everything.
Sure.
I didn't really hear a lot until, I started hearing the other songs, Billie Jean and all that. And then David Cook won American Idol, and everybody was like, oh, he remade Billie Jean. And I was like, yeah, that's a great song. And I really like Michael Jackson. I know everybody's like, oh, he's a child molester.
Well, no, we're like, back and forth about it. We're trying to cover it in a broad spectrum and deal with the man as opposed to just mythology on either sense. Here's the thing. Caitlin, you're 14 years old. You called into a radio station to talk about Michael Jackson. I greatly appreciate that. But you're a 14-year-old. You have needs and desires. You can't vote yet, but you can express your opinion. The next call I want you to make is to your congressperson. There. And you can tell them you love Michael Jackson. I don't care what you say. I just want you to talk to them. Get starting early. It's important. So thank you very much for the call, and enjoy She's Out of My Life and Ben when you discover that.
Oh,
and,
Ben.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she was born when Blood on the Dance Floor came out.
Remember exactly. Oh, absolutely.
Remember Blood on the Dance Floor?
The video where he couldn't even show his face.
That was the first flop album.
Right.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
That was the one, that was also the album where the, he had the song with the video where he was naked with Lisa Marie Presley.
Yes, yeah. Which might have had something to do with the part of it. That was a really interesting phase.
Yeah. You know,
for both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very popular with people who were fans
which
of
leads us to
porn.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh
God.
Wow.
Well, I don't know. Listen, yeah. I like Michael Jackson. I wasn't one of the fans, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't one of these rabid fans, but it was impossible not to know Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the shock people are feeling is if someone in your family died at age 50, you'd be mortified. Mm-hmm. And we knew Michael Jackson better than we knew most of our own relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, I feel...
Warts and all.
Well, yeah. And you said it before, Hal. Mm-hmm. You have to separate the artist from their personal life. You mm-hmm. can't judge them. If you were going to judge Picasso because of how he treated women, mm-hmm. you can't devalue his art for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of solace in the fact that he does have peace, and in a way... He really got what he wanted. He's always going to be young forever now.
Mm-hmm.
50's very young to go. And mm-hmm. finally, the world loves him again.
Well, and also, when you're separating the artist from their the artwork from the artist, you're really dealing with how it affects you, not the person, not the creator of the art, but how it resonates with you. Picasso's painting is a great example. You know, his paintings are, to some degree, about what he was expressing, but to a large degree about what you take away when you look at them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really what it's about. You know, I have my theories about Picasso's paintings, that he was a really well-known womanizer and that kind of stuff. And he always painted women with, you know, two eyes on one side of their nose and huge and all very exaggerated, weird proportions. But that's what it looks like when you're making out with a woman, when you're really up close and you're making out with somebody, and it looks like because your eyes can't focus on that someone who's that close, to the, when their parts are that close to you or you're staring down past their body at whatever, things seem to be out of order. Those mm-hmm. look like make-out sketches to me. I'm just saying. That's all of Picasso's work boiled down to.
But you're right. And you have to say, like Woody Allen, take any artist who's had his personal, Charlie Chaplin, anyone whose personal life has had failings. And,
mm-hmm.
and if you really care about Michael Jackson, you know, go and give a lot of love to a child.
Yeah.
Seriously. And I mean that sincerely.
If you really believe that was what he was about and that's really how he affected you, then carry that forward. Right.
Well, and in that sense, he was just like Elvis, you know? I mean, the drugs and all that, but mm-hmm. he wanted to be loved, and all that comes from a very critical father. And that's what he has
yeah.
most in common with Elvis, is a father who he could never, ever live up to the expectations of.
Right.
And that's why, you know, if you want to honor Farrah Fawcett, donate to cancer research and go see some of her good films. Go rent Extremities,
mm-hmm.
Which she's fantastic in.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a small role, but in The Apostle, as Duvall's wife, she's dynamite mm-hmm. in it.
Yep.
And for Michael Jackson, seriously, just give a lot of love to children, especially children with critical parents, if
mm-hmm.
they need it the most.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Well, or just... flat out famished and impoverished children. I mean,
yeah.
That's. I mean, in the heal the world. I mean, this maybe perhaps one of the good things that would come out of this is the ignition of that the fact that he dealt with hunger a lot. That was a big issue for him. We have a huge hunger issue in this country, and it tends to get brushed away.
It does.
People tend to just because we it's an icky thing for us to deal with being a first country in the first world country as it were, and then to have as big a poverty. We have as many children starving as a lot of smaller third world countries. That's absurd. And it's something we should do something about. So if you're a big Michael Jackson fan, again, here's another thing. What's part of his legacy to you? Is his legacy to you standing outside and lighting a candle for the guy himself? Or is it calling your congressperson going, you know what, children shouldn't go hungry.
Make yeah. something good come from
absolutely.
That.
Yeah. Call, talk about, meals for kids, in school, those kind of like after school programs,
sure.
the kind of stuff that you believe he advocated, his humanitarian outreach. Take a part of that with you. Take the music, which you will always love and will always reverberate in your life, and then take the humanitarian aspect, something that resonates with you, and act on it. Really act on it. It's not, and it's so easy these days. You know, you have the web. We're all cell phoning. We all got most of our representatives Twitter for cripe's sake. You can You know, you can follow them and make them follow you, you know.
Yeah, just get the word out and make your voice heard. And, you know, it's your democracy. Use it. The politicians work for us. And, you know, one thing Michael Jackson doesn't get enough credit for, really, he made it okay for non-Italian men to grab their crotches whenever they wanted. And no one's given him props for that
yet.
That's
right.
But you know what? That's a pretty masculine thing.
He made it okay for Madonna to do it.
Yep.
That was the way, you know, he made it okay for women to do it. That was the odd thing. And the other thing about, of course, that he had in common with Elvis was that he brought black music to a white audience. I just think he did it more legitimately because he happened to be.
You know what? We all create our own reality, and it's mm-hmm. you can't talk about Michael Jackson without talking about the tragedy of what became of his career.
Yeah. As a child star, is a classic child star story. If you really look at it, I mean, many child stars have gone this way. Few have had the same, you know, that kind of impact, obviously.
Mm-hmm. But you know, in the last several years, I mean, 10 years ago, I said Michael Jackson could get his whole career going again if he went on the road with a small rock band and played like the Beacon Theater, and mm-hmm. he booked the Beacon Theater to play with a rock band.
You called
10 years
it.
Ago. And then he canceled the day before. And I think that's why they were already taking I was in England 2 weeks ago.
Take odds on whether it would work out.
Odds on whether those shows would actually happen at the O2.
Well, it's a shame that it played out this way. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Our number is 1-800-STEPH-12. I'm Hal Sparks. We're here with John Fugelsang, and he's going to be with us the whole hour. So we're going to have a great time. Chris is still with us.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. And he'll be reading more dirty emails from you guys. So send them in or follow me on Twitter or Radio Guy Chris. We're all going to be here.
That's right.
See you right after this.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Ooh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
So good.
Saturday night.
You know, one time I opened for the Bee Gees once.
And
I was
really?
I did.
Wow.
I opened for the Bee Gees doing stand-up at the on the Millennium, on Y2K. How do you like that? January 31st, 1999. I opened for the Bee Gees. And, you know, I always thought that the two biggest, like, light vibratos in the world were Michael Jackson and Robin Gibb,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out that Robin Gibb's just scared.
Oh, is that?
I started a joke. Why are all these people here?
So the vibrato came from fear.
It just came from like, oh my God, there's so many people here listening to me sing. I'm kidding, of course. He was singing, but it always, that was, you know, when he came out on stage, it really did, because he has his big eyes.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Robin Gibb has really huge eyes, and he would sing with his eyes wide open, and it just looked like, and he had this wavering voice. And Michael has that kind of like, some of his songs have that little bit like,
I'm scared of what might happen.
We only have 30 seconds for this.
Yeah,
I want to go to this.
I
know. That's okay. We're, you know,
it takes a real man to sing like that.
Absolutely. I'm going to come back, actually, right after this break. I want to go to Lori in Chicago because she wants to talk about Farrah Fawcett. And I do think we owe her due diligence as
Absolutely.
Well. So we'll be right back. The Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Hal Sparks.
Stephanie Miller.
You want to tangle with me? Girl, your eyes.
This is my theory about this song was this is Kenny Loggins. It was either trying to sound like him or vice versa. This one just came out. Remember how like Kenny Loggins for a while was doing a lot of these, you know?
Yeah.
That breathy kind of.
Well, Michael Jackson's very breathy sounding.
Always,
anyway.
But this is a great song.
Feel that beat.
We can ride the boogie.
Yeah,
that's great. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Hal Sparks filling in for Steph. She went away for a day extra on her vacation. She's out next week. I'm in next week. I don't get to have, of course, Chris LaVoie, Boy Toy Chris LaVoie, with me next week because you're also on vacation.
That's right.
Where are you going? Where are you going to be?
I'm actually going to be...
He's going to blah, blah.
I'm actually going to be hanging around town doing nothing.
Terrific.
That's so not true. But we don't want people to follow him there, you know, because there's, you know... If I think I have problems on Queer as Folk having, you know, dudes following me around, people want a piece of Chris LaBoie. There are pictures of him on.
Oh, I know. Yes. I've seen the downloads.
Absolutely.
What? Huh?
Yes.
What? I needed the money.
Yes, yes, you did. I could see it in your G-string in that picture. That was great.
Hey, got him out of the Navy, Hal. Watch out.
Do what you got to do. Absolutely.
Here today, and God bless him for it.
Yeah, exactly. Don't ask. Don't tell.
Don't want to know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't even allude. I wanted to go to Lori in Chicago, Illinois, my favorite city in the whole world. Thank you, Lori. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
And you wanted to make a good point about Farrah.
Well, you know, this is a woman who was an icon in her own time.
Yep.
And all day I've been listening to the radio, and I haven't once heard her mentioned. I mean, she's a brilliant actress, was a wonderful person from all accounts.
Right. Loved horses, was great with raising animals. She was an advocate for their treatment because she and her then husband Lee Majors bought a castle in Kentucky. I grew up in Kentucky, mm-hmm. and they bought the castle in Lexington, which is this one piece. You can see it off of one of the main highways.
See it. It's a beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful
they. I don't know how much they lived in it, but they bought it, and that was going to be. He was bought that for his princess kind of idea, and she raised horses and was really an advocate for like the treatment of them after they've raced and you know that kind of stuff. She's a wonderful woman. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
We have brought her up a few times. We actually this morning when I came on the air at 6 a.m. That was the first thing I talked about was, I knew we'd be dealing with Michael all day, that I really wanted to bring attention to her.
Sorry I missed it.
Yeah. No worries. It's my fault for not bringing it back up. You know,
I'm grateful you brought it up. And, Farrah Fawcett, let's give her props as an actress, too. After she had her TV success, she reinvented her career by doing what every actor should. She went off Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And she did Extremities on stage, off-Broadway, and that gave her the credibility. She got the movie, and it's the best role she ever did.
Yeah, absolutely. And it surprised everyone at the time. So, Lori, thank you for the call, and enjoy Chicago. I'm very envious.
All right, thanks.
Cheers.
So did The Burning Bed.
Huh?
I mean, that was a
tour
force.
Mm-hmm. And then she got tired of playing victimized women roles, because they were kind of the same thing.
Yep.
So then she tried to branch out and do different stuff. And, again, mm-hmm. the last role I loved her in was The Apostle as mm-hmm. Duvall's cheating wife.
Right.
Yeah.
Dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, unfortunately for a large generation, what they'll know her from is from, like, the Comedy Central roast was the last thing people might have seen her on. I think it was the Pam Anderson roast, I want to say? But she did one of the roasts not too long ago and stuff. And it became this issue of, like, Jeff Ross kind of bagging on her for being ditzy blonde.
Well, that happened on the Letterman show as well.
Right.
And, you know, the woman struggled. I mean, we're talking mm-hmm. about artists who made a lot of money, had a lot of success at a very young age, and in many cases had a rough time handling the fame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's human. And you look
at
someone.
Well, and also the downslope of beauty. That's the, you know, if we prize specifically physical beauty so much, and then if there's any slight wane in it, people gain a little weight.
Of course. And
show
the society
a little...
is so ageist.
Yeah.
And we saw that with a lot of so-called liberals during the McCain campaign as well. People are so terrified of age, they got to mock it. And it's like, what you need to do, you're going to age. If you're lucky, you're going to get old. We all know people who died way too young.
Mm-hmm.
So stop complaining about, oh, I'm 35, we're old now.
Well, you know,
and be grateful you get to get old. Well, and look at the grace Farrah distributed.
Well, and also, look at our age range is, you know, the human body apparently can reach, according to like the MIT scientists, 250 years. We can make a human body last 250 years if we do it right. We just haven't figured it out yet.
Right.
We ruin ourselves with our digestive process for the most part.
Well,
that's what eats us up. But we could live to be 120, and that's going to become much more normal. The centenarians are the fastest growing group of people. Age is not what it meant, even 20 years ago, much less 50 years ago. If you look at pictures of people in the 30s, the people on those bread lines during the thing, look at those pictures. Those are people in their 20s, and they looked 60.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all look like Randy Travis.
Yeah.
They all had those, like, kind of melty-faced John Kerry look about them.
And you read the Bible where they all lived to be 200 years old, and it's like, well, they didn't have fructose yet.
Exactly, right. They didn't have high fructose corn syrup. They
were
medicating.
Just talking about that earlier.
Absolutely.
They were wheat-free. They were gluten-free back then.
Absolutely.
They lived to be 500 years old.
old and build arcs when they were 70.
So. Right, exactly, if the math serves.
Yeah.
But, yeah, exactly that. And so age is going to shift a lot for us. And so we're going to chase it. This is going to be the interesting dichotomy is, in one instance, the focus on youth is can be damaging because people can overdo it. Michael Jackson, I think, is a good example of that reclamation of youth going to, and even to Farrah, I guess, to some degree. But or Joan Rivers. I mean, if you look at her facial surgery, that real attachment to it. On the other hand, our desire to be youthful also, as long as we equate it with health, is a good thing and will add 10 years to our lives. And if it means not smoking and if it means exercising regularly and if it means taking care of yourself, not, you know, eating red meat. I'm a big fan of Meatless Mondays, which is a big thing Tom Hartman does and a couple other people. Don't eat meat on Mondays.
Well, yeah. My wife's a vegetarian and she runs a blog about you know, equating, instead of selling health, sell hotness. You know, if we're going to be shallow and materialistic anyway, then say healthy equals hot.
Right.
And my wife's blog, The Healthy Fox, is all about that. Like we're the environmentalist movement.
Right.
The environmentalist movement went wrong by making it all about save the environment. The environment's going to be fine. It's save the humans.
Humans, we're going to be wiped out. Like, volcanoes aren't upset by the crap that they burn down. You know what I mean? And the trees that grow up later aren't really upset that there was a volcano. You know, their trees used to be there before the volcano burned them down. They don't care. There's none of that history. Animals adapt even much quicker. We're going to wipe ourselves out. We will take a lot of species with us. I think that's where the environmental movement focuses on the exterior, which is, you know, that polar bears and other animals are markers of, A, our own human cruelty and our lack of respect for the environment and our own shepherdship over the earth, because we definitely have more control over the environment. Whether we're the highest intelligence is still debatable, I think. I think dolphins might have a lot more fun than we do and a lot less stress.
A lot less wars, too.
Yes, and they have sex.
You never hear about the dolphin wars.
Dolphins have sex for pleasure and not always for procreation.
Oh,
so clearly,
those bonobo monkeys have got something on us.
Absolutely, yes. I've seen those pictures.
They don't get a lot done in a day, but they enjoy it.
Yes, exactly.
But, you know, and this also, speaking of health issues with Michael, it brings us back to anorexia.
Mm-hmm.
Because the man was 5'10 and, according to reports, under 100 pounds and rehearsing 12 hours a day for 50 concerts. And he was 50 years old. And it seems
your system
like
can't handle
cardiac
that.
Arrest could be a logical outcome. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if it, again, you know, anorexia tied to the critical parent issue. I'm sorry, but I got to lay a lot of blame at Joe Jackson for all of this.
Sure.
And not his father, the singer Joe Jackson. I blame him for the whole thing.
Right, exactly. Don't even get me started on what Elvis Costello had to do with it. I mean, like, with Elvis's death. I would like that name, therefore you must die. Oh, wait, hold on. We got. Let me get to Stan on five. Stan's in Washington. Washington State or Washington, D.C.?
Washington State.
Awesome. Yeah. So you're way across the country. And what did you just do?
Well, I called all my congressmen.
I love you.
What a man, what a man, what a mighty good man.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. My boyfriend is going to sit back and say, Michael says he loves you. He's going to be so jealous. Now, I'm speaking on behalf of all the handicapped veteran, gay, Wiccan, ex-cons. We're many. Our numbers are
my
even,
people.
And we're listening to you.
Awesome. Well, and all those groups are welcome.
Absolutely. And I stumbled across secret papers, the Republican health plan, and I know what it is.
Yeah?
Every American is going to be given a moldy piece of bread, a moldy orange, and a sticker that says, don't do it, and we can make our own penicillin while eating.
Right. You're not far off, yeah.
And the other point is, I realized something else. If they only elected gay men governors, we wouldn't have these scandals because there's never been a case of a gay governor getting caught in flagrante with a woman.
That's true.
That's true. But well, Barney Frank can talk about scandals that gay
absolutely.
Representatives.
Thanks for the call.
So can Jim McGreevy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call.
I think with Sanford, the Republicans are just happy it was not with a guy.
Yes.
Well, that's, you know, I still think there's some element of debate. We have not seen this Maria. We have not seen...
we've seen her, and she was a journalist as well.
Well, there's still some debate whether that's the real Maria.
Oh, I
that's
see.
Been going around, whether it's a
those,
Miguel.
Those emails popped up really conveniently quickly.
Well, apparently they were all around already. I mean...
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But sort of with heavily redacted as well. If you've noticed, there's a lot of dot, dot, dot going on in what they release. We got to take a break. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Hal Sparks. I'm filling in. We got John Fuglesang right here in the studio with us. We're lucky enough to have him here.
All of that.
And, we got more calls. And, of course, we will actually get to a substantive issue, I promise. right after this.
The health care.
Yeah.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Ooh, I got to say, that was fantastic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm doing it now.
Yeah.
You know, Prince.
This guy gave more to the English language than Webster.
Shimon. You know it. You know it. You know, he asked Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson asked Prince to play the other gang member, the other leader of the gang in the Bad video.
Yeah. Really?
And Prince turned it down because he said, "There's no way I'm going to let Michael Jackson sing 'Your Butt Is Mine' to me."
Okay.
He's like, "Dude, I'm not going to stand.
Far too butch for that.
I'm not going to stand there and while you go, 'Your Butt Is Mine.'"
That's a great song, and directed by Martin Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. I love the scene with him in the cab, in the back of the cab, where he's just waving the gun around and waiting for his... Oh, that's a different thing. That's a taxi driver. I'm sorry. I'm confused. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Hal Sparks. I'm filling in. 1-800-STEPH-12. John Fugelsang is here with us, and for our final, we're into the home stretch this hour,
yeah.
And Chris Lavoie, you're going to be on vacation.
That's right.
In about 10 minutes.
Well, we actually feed a best of to our affiliates, and so another 3 hours to go.
Really?
Yeah.
I was so excited to like just kind of send you off happy, still got more work to do.
I got a little more work to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, but then after that, all fun all the time.
Hopefully.
I hope you have a great time.
Yes, thank you.
And
how can we find out more about you guys?
Well, I'm sure.
Glad you asked.
Yes,
Chris.
Gosh. John, what are your sites?
I'm retooling my site right now, but I'm a Facebook hoe. I love Facebook because I like to... I'm a Facebook hoe. I like to sit at home alone and socialize on Facebook.
Yes.
I just posted a video today that I'd like to tell people about because it's a thing I did for CNBC a couple years ago for the John McEnroe Show. I did a segment with Ed McMahon where Ed taught me how to be a sidekick.
Oh, cool.
And he was one of the best improvisers I ever met. I was shocked at how great he was and how funny he was. And it's Ed teaching me not to interrupt, and I keep interrupting, and he gets pissed at me. And he was a really quick wit, and I was very impressed by his soul and his humor. And so that's on my Facebook page. And
John,
all the other places.
And you can go to Facebook.com. They now have your URLs. You can actually go to the page now. Did you set yours
up
so you have
your
John
URL?
Fugelsang?
Would you believe there aren't that many Fugelsangs on Facebook? There's actually a bunch of us, but no, I have not set up my
username. You got to do that. You got to jump on. I would just go with your last name. I would just go with Fugelsang.
Or someone else snatches
it
up.
Yeah, exactly. Just be the Fugelsang.
I want to
give that many of them running around. I mean, you want to,
Yeah.
Own it.
It's true. I do want to give a shout out, if it's okay, to my brother Paul Fugelsang, because today he donated a kidney to a friend.
Oh,
in New York
that's
City.
Awesome.
And I just got a text message.
On purpose?
Awesome. Well, he lost the bet. No, I just found out he came out of surgery fine, so I'm very proud of my younger brother.
Cool. And,
awesome.
Yes, and my.
And thank you for coming in here while your brother's in surgery for
absolutely.
Crying out loud.
Wow. I'm in LA anyway,
okay.
So I might as well.
Yeah. And I want to wish a happy birthday to Samantha Humphreys, my ex-girlfriend, which is tomorrow.
My
she's
ex-girlfriend's
lovely
birthday's tomorrow, too.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Cool. Wait a minute. It's not about... here's the thing. You've got a whole weekend ahead of you, folks, and you've got the rest of the day to call your representatives on StephanieMiller.com. In the live blog section, there's the number for the Capitol switchboard. There's the link to find out who your congressperson is and who your senators are. Know them. Memorize them.
They work for you.
Yes, they do. Tell them what to do like you're ordering a latte. Tell them exactly what you want in no uncertain terms.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, with a groundswell, they'll do it.
Tell them you're a lobbyist. They'll listen then.
Right, exactly. I'm a lobbyist for my family. And they're a very important special interest group. I have a lot of special interest in my kids. And my kids would like a world with, single-payer private option health care, and there's no point in reforming it without it, because that's not reform. That's just a payout to insurance companies
mm-hmm.
who don't care. But it's so nuts to me that people are like, you don't want a bureaucrat between you and your doctor. Well, first of all, the bill that came through, all the bills, have a very specific clause in all of them that at no time will a government official ever stand between a patient and the choice of
mm-hmm.
doctor or it will be the doctor's decision on what kind of care they get.
And you know what? More importantly than telling your congressman, tell your friends and loved ones who watch Fox News.
Right.
Because
yes.
They're the ones who are being lied to all
absolutely.
Day long. Ask them how much they like their insurance company and do
absolutely.
They want those guys to win.
Yeah, I love how people are like, the government can't run anything, man. You can't run. So let me get this right.
They're running the airwaves that you're saying that over.
Absolutely. They're saying driving on the street you're driving down while you're listening to this, the street lights work and the potholes get filled, however much time they take, if you waited for AIG or Enron to fill those potholes, you'd be SOL. The truth is, think of all the companies, the banks, the Enrons of the world, Dow Chemical, Monsanto, the companies that we've all had really big scandals with, Coca-Cola and what they apparently did in India and places like that. Yeah. And then get off this idea that corporations and the free market are some sort of magical wonderland of hope. It's not. It doesn't work that way. There's good and bad in both. The difference is, with the government, we can refine the good the way we want it. A corporation is always out of our hands. So handing over our personal needs and in security, in health, in schooling to private corporations allows way too much of that to be uncontrollable.
In fascism, the corporations run the show.
Right.
In socialism, the government runs the show. In capitalism, both sides fight it out. You get to pick sides.
Right, exactly. And you run your government. So, you know, the only only time, you know, the horse is running off, you know, the trail is when you take your hands off the reins. You really need to
use as directed. It's democracy.
There you go.
And it's there for you.
Absolutely. So go on the website. Go to stephaniemiller.com. You can
right there, front and center on the homepage.
Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True is also available in a tile ad. You might buy that so that you can buy more energy drinks because he needs more energy drinks.
I just can't get over the week Ed McMahon dies and he becomes a third banana. It's kind of
sad. Yeah. But, you know, again, we were dealing with, to some degree, people who they've been done for a while. It's been this weird thing. They've kind of exited the public sphere. And so we as a public have dealt with the fact that they're gone.
Mm-hmm. Paul Newman was acting up until last year.
That was huge. Let's, on this, as far as representative government goes, Tommy in Palm Springs. Let's go to Tommy. Tommy, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, so you have a concern with... Oh, can you turn your radio down?
I did.
Okay, great. There you go. The,
Hal, first of all, I'd like to say that on Queer as Folk, you were my absolute favorite.
No, thanks.
And I almost just heard you say you wanted to give Chris Lavoy a happy ending.
Oh, Lord.
Well, you can read into that however you'd like. I would just like him to have a good weekend. I don't feel any physical responsibility for making that happen.
End of his week, you know.
Right. But you were calling about John Kerry.
I was calling because I heard yesterday that John Kerry came out in support of the public option. Kicking in 10 years.
Right, right.
What is that about? We're kind of finding out exactly who's in the pocket of
exactly.
Who.
Exactly. And Obama had floated the idea of, and this was a way to work with the Republicans, who, by the way, don't want to work with anybody.
Right.
They make you acquiesce to some of their demands and then don't vote for the damn thing anyways. This is the absurd part. Like with the stimulus package, they managed to crowbar a bunch of crap into that thing and then didn't have a single vote for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why, you know.
I would have gone back through and gone, you know what, we're going to have a revote immediately and just scratch out everything.
An appropriations bill, and they don't need one single Republican.
Right.
Because it just takes a 50-person vote, period.
Yeah, I mean, whatever happened to just a plain old majority, 51 out of 100?
If they, you know, they say, well, that we need the 60 votes, we need the 60 votes, we need the 60. Since when did that become the norm?
It became the norm when we start finding out how many of the blue dogs actually sided with the Republicans during a lot of that crap.
And it won't become the norm until Norm gives up.
Every one of them need to know that they can be replaced.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And I think your dogs agree.
They're not my dogs.
Uh-oh. Oh, run for your life, Tommy.
My dogs would never disturb the neighborhood that way.
That's sweet. Who let them out?
Thanks, Tommy. Appreciate it.
And, you know, there, John Kerry. You know, you want to know why you didn't win, John? Because of that. Because of the half-hearted thing. I watched all those debates. If I could be that stiff for 90 minutes, I'd work in gay porn.
Right.
You know?
John, and here's the thing. I voted for John Kerry. I think a lot of people voted for John Kerry on this side because, you know, at that point, I mean, A, what were our options? And B, you know, a decent senator for the most part over time. And especially in regard to the war initially, before he let them hand him his butt.
He voted for the war.
Yeah, I know. But you know what I mean? As far as, he ran scared into that zone. You know what I mean? Whereas back in the 70s,
The film Going Up River is a great doc.
So call John Kerry. Thank you, John Fugelsang. Thank you, Chris Lavoie.
Thank you, Hal Sparks. Well done.
Thank you, Hal Sparks. And check out stephaniemiller.com. We'll see you next week.
Hal will be in all week next week.
Word.
Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Hal Sparks. Thanks so much.